The Power of the Word is brought to you each week by the support of our partners and friends. Today on Power of the Word.
Faith could be defined simply as believing God. Faith is believing God. What God said is His will. What He said is what He wants for you. What He says is what He's capable of bringing to pass for you. But He can only bring to pass for you, even if it's His will, He can only bring to pass for you what you believe. You can reject to believe Him and will not get it, even if He desires you to have it. So just because God wants it and just because you want it, doesn't make it happen. There has to be an intentional belief. You have to choose to believe. Amen.
Nothing on earth is more valuable than the wisdom of God. James 1:5 tells us that if we ask for wisdom, God will give it to us. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, God has the insight to bring us through successfully. In this series, Dr. Ed King shares scripture focusing on the strategic ways God shares wisdom.
Knowledge is wonderful and we should pursue knowledge, and education is great and we need education, there's no question about that. But education alone is not enough. We need the wisdom on how to apply the knowledge that we have, the education that we have. We need wisdom to be able to put it into use.
To get your copy of Wisdom for the Times as a digital download for $7 or on CD for $15, call us at 800-956-4433 or visit us at poweroftheword.com. God will give us wisdom to navigate all of life's circumstances.
We've been talking to you, our series, and God works in atmospheres. Now, when we talk about atmospheres, you know, generally when you think of an atmosphere, you think about Earth's atmosphere or, the atmosphere. You hear stories about the atmosphere on Mars and why it will or won't sustain certain forms of life. You know, or is there life out there? I don't know any of that part. But that's generally the way we think about an atmosphere. But an atmosphere can be much more closer to home. You have a sphere of influence. You remember when Peter, there was a special event, or might have been more than one event, but we know that there were certain times when the shadow of Peter passing over people, they'd be healed. That was an atmosphere that was very unique to a moment in time, and that was a small atmosphere, but it was an atmosphere in which God did something. So when we talk about atmospheres, it can be in that grand scale, but it can be much smaller. And we see that God does work in atmospheres. And so we have to set the conditions that are conducive to seeing God do what God is desirable and already willing to do, but sometimes can't do because the atmosphere doesn't allow it. And we've been going through certain things, and I doubt very seriously over time if we could cover everything, but we want to cover primarily the big things. Amen. We talked to you about love and unity and harmony, and that's an atmosphere in which God works. They were in one chord, one place, and suddenly there came that sound from heaven. So that harmonious relationship between people gives God an atmosphere where He can work. Amen. We talked about praise and worship. God inhabits the praise of His people. So there are things that we do, and I won't go back and redo everything we've covered to this point, but we talked to you about creating an atmosphere of positive faith. And we talked about that last week. We're going to continue on with that part this week, creating an atmosphere of faith. And we find over here in Mark chapter 6, and this is the passage that we use to give the basis for even the whole series on God working in atmospheres. This is where we got that idea. But when Jesus went to His own country, his own hometown of Nazareth. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says, "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house." And he could there do no mighty works. Didn't say he wouldn't. He said he couldn't. So there was a hindrance to him being able to do what he even desired to do. Now, the word mighty works right there could be translated miracles. The whole process, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. And when you see the word miracle in the Bible, it's that same word. Dunamis has that same idea. You have that power within you, but the woman with the issue of blood who came to Jesus, and the Bible says that virtue went out of him. That word virtue, again, is that word dunamis. It's the power of God that went into her. So when it says that he could there do no mighty works, there could be no manifestation of the Spirit. There could be no manifestation of his miracle-working power. It didn't say he wouldn't do it. It didn't say he was unwilling. See, sometimes we believe to the point, and we believe it in error, if we take it too far, that it's only as God wills, and we have nothing to do with it. If God wanted to, he could. But if God doesn't want to, it's not going to happen. Well, it doesn't say that. It didn't say he wouldn't. It said he couldn't. So there were conditions on their end that were not met. So therefore, he desired to, but couldn't. So he goes on to say, he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now the condition here above others, now there are many things that you could extract from that. And we spent time on it, so I won't go back and redo that. But the main thing that we want to take away from that for today's lesson is unbelief was the number one hindrance to what God wanted to do. Everybody say unbelief. Unbelief. Now, our message title is Creating an Atmosphere of Positive Faith. This is part two, but we're underscoring that title with a secondary title. God must be believed. God must be believed. The conditions that create an atmosphere that God will work in is he has to be believed. He's not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man that he would repent. There's no shadow on it, nor variableness of turning in him. God is reliable, and what he says is what he means. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So God is believable. He's to be believed. And he's to be believed even in the face of things that would have tremendous contradiction in the natural to what we believe from him. There's a lot of things in life that want to take you away from God or take you away from believing God or trusting God. But God must be believed. So the concept when we talk about positive faith could be defined simply as believing God. Faith is believing God. What God said is his will. What he said is what he wants for you. What he says is what he's capable of bringing to pass for you. But he can only bring to pass for you, even if it's his will, he can only bring to pass for you what you believe. You can reject to believe him and will not get it, even if he desires you to have it. So just because God wants it and just because you want it doesn't make it happen. There has to be an intentional belief. You have to choose to believe. Amen? So we're going to emphasize that and drill down in it just a little bit for the purpose of making some points. I've got this friend, and they're not a church friend. They're a Christian friend, but they're not a church friend. But I watch them, in a way, struggle over their salvation. You ever seen people who struggle over their salvation? The only people who struggle over their salvation are people who don't know or believe the Word. Well, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm saved. Why are you not sure? Well, you know, you won't know till you come to the end of your life. Well, I'd hate to live life with that thought process. That'd be a scary proposition, wouldn't it? But you can know that you're born again. Well, how do you know? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did God say that? Well, he did. Did he mean it? Yes. Does he intend to bring it to pass? Absolutely. Can I put confidence in it? You better. Isn't that what faith is? So doubt is not the arena where God works. Believing and faith is the arena where God works. Amen? So faith is simply believing God, and believing God is believing His Word. The Bible says that God has exalted His Word above His name. That's incredible to me, but it's true, so it shouldn't be incredible. It's the truth. Amen? So faith is trusting Him to do what He says. Faith is having confidence in Him. Faith is believing in His love. Now, unbelief is an absolute total disqualifier in receiving from God. Unbelief is an absolute total disqualifier for receiving from God. You're in unbelief, you don't get it. It's that simple. Well, I don't believe in that sowing and reaping process. Really? Well, you're going to get it. You're going to get exactly. See, to be in unbelief is not to believe nothing. It's typically, generally, to believe the wrong thing. Well, I don't believe in that sowing and reaping. Well, then you believe the opposite. So you believe something, you just believe the wrong thing. Well, I don't believe that God heals today. Well, okay. So you believe He doesn't heal today. So it's not you don't believe, you just believe the wrong thing. You can't not believe. Everybody believes. Just believe the wrong thing. So unbelief is not failure to believe. It's a failure to believe the right thing. Well, how do you know what to believe? Believe the Scriptures. What other basis have you got for living your life anyway? Well, I believe, you know, I believe in trust in the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, I do too. But the Bible says the Word and the Spirit agree. Holy Spirit's not going to lead you apart from the Bible. You wouldn't even know if the Holy Spirit was leading you if you don't know enough Scripture to evaluate it. You don't even know. So it all goes back to that. Well, I believe that God has other ways of leading us. I do too. I believe He's got multitudes of ways of leading us. But they still all have to come under the scrutiny of the Bible. He's not going to lead you apart from Scripture. He just won't. So if you get something that contradicts Scripture, it's not His leading. Well, I'm believing God for another man's wife. You think I just make this stuff up? People actually come to me with things like that. I believe God told me I'm supposed to marry so-and-so. Well, He didn't. Now, you think that this stuff doesn't happen? It does happen. Now, it's stupid, I know. But it's not stupid to the person who's believing it. Well, you don't know how God led me. Well, I don't believe it was God if He led you contrary to what the truth is. I don't believe those things that you think was God leading was His leading at all. You have to evaluate it. All under the scrutiny of the Word of God. So unbelief is a complete disqualifier in receiving from God. Well, God will not work where unbelief rules the atmosphere. Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith. Now remember, we said faith is simply believing God. That can be defined the same way. So, without faith or without believing God, it is impossible to please Him. So we can't please God unless we believe Him. We have to believe God if we're going to be pleasing to God. If your life is going to bring God pleasure, if what you do, your activities, what you're involved in are going to please God, you got to have faith in it. Well, don't you know diesel's going to be running out here in a few days? I was talking to somebody the other day and they were telling me how diesel's going to run out. Well, I don't know whether it will or not. I mean, I hear the news. I mean, I know. But you know what? I just said to him, I said, do you remember in the Bible? You remember the story of the manna? You remember that? I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you know, those ovens haven't shut down. I said, the same God that cared for them is the same God that cares for you. Now, I'm not being flippant about it. I've got a higher source, you know. My faith is not in diesel. Now, I'm not making light of that stuff, but I got a higher direction for my faith. I got a faith in God. Well, don't you know what the economy is going to do? Well, I know what they say, but my faith is in God. I have a higher source of supply. Well, don't you know the doctors and the healthcare system? I have another source for my healing. You understand? Faith in God.
Barbara's prayers were answered when her husband, Julius, came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior while watching the Power of the Word broadcast. Sadly, Julius passed away soon after. But Barbara is at peace knowing that he made Jesus his Lord and Savior and that soon they'll be reunited in heaven. Hi, I'm Carly. I'm the producer here at the Power of the Word, and we often hear of individuals coming to know Jesus as their Lord and strengthening their relationship with him through our broadcast. God is doing incredible things in this ministry, and it is all made possible by our faithful monthly partners. We truly, truly cherish your partnership. I want to ask you today if you would consider becoming a monthly partner with us. When you partner with a ministry like Power of the Word, the blessing on that ministry comes into your life as well. Becoming a partner is very simple. Just go to poweroftheword.com/partner. Call us at 1-800-956-4433 or text GIVE to 865-978-6380. From all of us here at Power of the Word, thank you for your partnership.
You remember R.W. Shambach, and how many remember him? Oh, he's a great, great preacher. I mean, he's a great preacher. We had the pleasure of meeting him and having dinner with him one night. I mean, he's a real host. That's a great story. But anyway, you know, in the pulpit, he's this big booming presence. You know what I'm saying? You get him by himself and alone, and I mean, he's one of the most humble, sweet, kind people you ever met in your life. Not that you wouldn't think that, but, you know, there's such a conflict of personalities. You know, when a person's under that anointing and all, it's one thing. But he would always say, and I'd listen to his radio program, and he would always say, he'd always come on with that booming voice, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. And that was kind of his thing. And, you know, that's the truth. You don't have any trouble that God can't get you past. You don't have anything you're facing that God can't get you on the other side of it. God knew exactly what your life was going to look like. He knew exactly what the conditions would be before you were ever born. And it says, before you were ever born, Peter talked about it, wrote about it. He said, God has, past tense, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need to live a godly life, he's already provided. He knew what you'd face. He knew what would come across your path while you were passing through planet Earth. And he said, I've already got everything positioned for you. All you need is faith in God. It's all already done. Amen. Well, what are we going to do? I know what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you don't only believe that God is, you believe he'll reward you in life. Faith has rewards attached to it. There's a payday. There are dividends that come from trusting God. I'm here to tell you, there are paydays that come from trusting God. God has you in the palm of his hand. He holds you as the apple of his eye. And I'm going to tell you, he's more than enough to provide whatever you need. Believe me, amen? So you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. We see over here from Romans chapter 14, question, hast thou faith? That's a good question. Do you have faith? Have it to thyself. So the Bible tells us that somebody else can't have faith for you. That means you got to have your own. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Now I'm talking about in the spirit realm. There are plenty of grandchildren physically. But in the kingdom of God, there's no grandchildren. Everybody's firstborn. You have to come to God on your own. You can't come to God on the faith of your mom and your daddy. You can't come on the faith of your grandparents. Thank God for godly heritage and thank God for the faith that's gone before us. We're happy about all that. But everybody has to come to God on their own. And they have to trust God for themselves. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself. You got to have your own faith. You got to do it yourself. How do you get it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So he said, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which is allowed. And he that doubteth, see, that's the opposite of believing. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Ouch. He said a bad word from the pulpit. I read it out of the Bible. Just clarifying. Again, I have to make sure that people understand that was a word in the Bible. Okay. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. So the Bible says whatever is not of faith is damned. Or you know what damned is. I mean, damn, it's not like Norris Dam. It's damnation. It's damned to a doomed place. It's cursed. Okay? Well, you can grunt at me from time to time. Just let me know you're still present, okay? Are these cardboard props, or is anybody behind that? You know, amen. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever of not of faith is sin. Now that's about as clear as you can get it. So we either move in faith or we move in sin. It's one or the other. Whatsoever is not of faith. Well, I wouldn't dare pray for a ball game, really. If you watch it, you ought to be able to pray for it. Because if you're watching it and you can't pray for it, it's a sin. Well, I don't believe that. Well, if you can't use faith on what you do, do you go shopping in faith? If you can't, then it's wrong. You ought to go shopping by faith. You ought to believe God for the deals. You ought to believe God for direction when you buy what you buy. You pray over things because you want God engaged with you in it. Now, some of you last night didn't get your prayers answered, but I can't help you. I mean, you know, I didn't get mine answered either. But the point is, everything that we deal with in life has a faith element attached to it. Everything. Amen. And so one of the reasons we get in the trouble that we get into in life is because we don't pray about things. We don't exercise faith in it. Amen. We look over here in John chapter 6, verse number 28. Then said he unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? God, everybody say the works of God. Now, you know, people want to be used of God. People pray to get used by God. You know, isn't it funny? You know, we do find your place in various things. And, you know, people talk about, you know, I want God to use me. I want my life to matter. I want God to put me in a position where he can use me. I want to make a difference for God. That's good. And then you start getting used by God, you know, and then you come back and have a bad report and say, well, I feel like I'm being used. Well, make up your mind. Which is it? You want to be used or you want to be used or not used? Which is it? But you see, God will start using you and then you feel used. Well, I can tell you truthfully, if you're going to be used by God, you will be used. I can't fix that part. Amen. So we want to do the works of God. Everybody say, I want to do the works of God. We do, don't we? Jesus told us, he said, "Do the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do." So we want to do the works of Jesus, all right? I want to walk on water. Well, I don't know about that one. If you do it, get a picture. Because you're going to have a hard time selling that one, I'll tell you that, okay? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." Oh, we're going to get a definition now. That you believe. So the work of God is that you use faith. The work of God is that you believe. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The work of God is that you believe. Say, the work of God is believing Him. That pleases Him. What we believe is critical to us. We find over and over and over through the Gospels, through other places in Scripture, where unbelief was a complete disqualifier to receiving from God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith simply, in its most reduced down definition, is simply believing God and believing His Word. That's what it is. And we believe it in spite of circumstance. We believe it in spite of contrary evidence. We just are believers. We are believers. We're called believers. Christians are called believers. So believing is your entryway into receiving from God. Unbelief is the disqualifier in any form of receiving from God, whether it be your deliverance from whatever maybe bad habit or sin that would be besetting you, or even coming to Christ. Unbelief will stop that. Now, there is a kind of belief that's a false belief, and that's the devil himself. It says about him that even the devils believe and tremble, but that kind of belief has no faith in it. And so belief that we choose to walk in has a faith attached to it. We believe and we trust. They don't. They believe it because they know it's true. They don't trust in Him. And they can't the way we can. Right now, where you're at right now, right where you are, reach out and believe in Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to cleanse you by His blood. And He'll do it. Pray this prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, I take you right now as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you. Serve you today and forever. Sin, Satan, I don't serve you. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life." Now, if you prayed that prayer, I know you meant it. You'd never pray a prayer like that and not mean it. Let us know here at Power of the Word. We want to pray with you. We want to love you. We want to bless you. If we don't see you here on this side, we'll see you on that side. God bless you. See you next time.